Well, I want to talk this morning about what is so amazing about grace. What is so amazing about grace? We sang the song Amazing Grace, and that's probably, if I ask most of you what's your favorite song, a lot of you would say Amazing Grace. We sing it at a lot of funerals. It's sung at weddings. It's just sung everywhere. It's been recorded by some of the greatest recording artists in the world, you know, have recorded Aretha Franklin and Mariah Carey and Johnny Cash and Elvis Presley. And I could go on and on and on and on and on. They've all recorded this song. Everybody knows this song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. But what is so amazing about it? Why is grace amazing? And the thought I really want to leave with you today that I think is really important, I think grace is a lot more amazing than you know. Amen. Because it truly is an amazing thing. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7. Let's look at this verse together because this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. It says that in the ages to come, that's not this age, that's not the time we're living in now, but that's what's ahead of us. What we call eternity, the Bible calls ages. And in these ages to come, it says that he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to think about that for a minute. We're experiencing God's amazing grace right now, right? I mean, it's amazing. God's grace. I'm going to talk to you about that. But what I want you to understand is that we're just getting started. In the ages to come, in the eternities that God has prepared for us, we are going to still be experiencing the riches of his grace. Think about that. That throughout all of eternity, we'll never run out of the riches of God's grace. He will continually be showing and revealing to you how amazing his grace is. We'll still be singing Amazing Grace 1,000 years from now. We'll still be singing Amazing Grace 1,000,000. And we'll be like, our minds will be blown. It's just amazing how God's grace is. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. We just thank you for your word today. We just ask you to pour into our hearts and pour into our lives and minister to us, Lord. I thank you, God, for every person here and that their heart is open to receive the word of the Lord. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Got a little bit of a feedback. Y'all can help me with that. Now, a few years ago, there was a large convention for pastors in Atlanta, Georgia, and some pastors came down from the north, and it was their first visit into the south, and they went to a restaurant, and they were ordering breakfast, and they ordered breakfast, and when they got their breakfast, they looked at their breakfast plate, and there was this big glob of white stuff on the plate, and they didn't know what it was, and so they asked the waitress, one of the pastors said, "What is this stuff? What is this on my plate?" And she said, "Well, it's grits." And he said, "Grits? What are grits? I don't know what grits are." And he said, "Look, I didn't order it, and I don't want it, and I'm not paying for it." And she said, "You don't understand." She said, "In the South, you don't have to order it, and you don't have to want it. You just get it." Well, the grace of God is kind of like grits. You don't order it. You don't have to want it, but you just get it. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. There are way too many people that are living with guilt and with shame and with condemnation. They live with their past hanging all over them. Folks, God did not mean for you to live that way. He made a way to take that off of you. He made a way to lighten the load. And you don't have to carry the guilt of yesterday. And we've all got a yesterday. Man, we've all messed up. We've all have a past. We've all made mistakes. But that's what the power of the cross is for. And I want to give you three things this morning real quickly about the grace of God. It is the unmerited, it is the undeserved, and it is the unearned love and favor of God. And I want us to look at the very first one. It's unmerited. Unmerited. The love of God is an unmerited thing. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. It says, "For by grace have you been saved through faith. For by grace have you been saved, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God." Amen? Not of works, lest anyone should boast. The word merit means a claim to respect or praise. When it comes to salvation, I have no claim to respect or praise. When it comes to the work that God has done, I have no merit. I have no claim to respect or praise. There will be no boasting in heaven. There will be no boasting in heaven. One pastor said that the grace of God was like a boat with oars. And God puts you in the boat and God gives you oars, but He expects you to row. And you row and you row and you row your way to heaven. And you only get to heaven because you row the boat. And then when you get to heaven, you can kind of pat yourself on the back. You can kind of, man, you know, I rowed that boat. I was faithful. I rowed and I rowed and I rowed and I got all the way to heaven. But folks, that's not amazing grace. That's amazing you. And you're not that amazing. Amazing grace has nothing to do with me rowing the boat. It has nothing to do with anything I've ever done. You won't be patting your back on heaven. I guarantee you, the first time you see the nail prints in His hands, that will take away all glory that you think you might have earned. Amen? I think that would cause us to bow down to Him and submit and understand, I have done nothing here. We were married to a guy. Let me illustrate this way. We were married to a guy named Mr. Law. How many of you have ever met Mr. Law? We were married to this guy, okay? Now, you know what we found out when we were married to Mr. Law? You couldn't please him. You couldn't make Mr. Law happy. You couldn't do anything right, no matter how hard you tried. He'd come home from work, and the house wasn't just right, the food wasn't just right, everything. And it was this rule and that rule, and there were rules and rules. And Mr. Law would pull out his rules, and he would tell his wife, you know, this is all that you got. And baby, you're not getting it done. That's being married to Mr. Law. And it wasn't a lot of fun. And no matter how hard you tried, until finally you reached a point where you didn't care anymore. You finally reached a point where you quit trying. You finally reached a point where you said, I can't do it. It's just impossible. I can't make Mr. Law happy. But then Mr. Law died. And you got remarried. And you married a man named Mr. Grace. But you still had some bad habits because of being married to Mr. Law. Right? So Mr. Grace comes home from work and the house is a mess. Y'all listen to me. The house is a mess. Supper's not cooked. Things aren't done right. In fact, there was even another man or two in the house during the day while Mr. Grace was gone. Hello. But Mr. Grace walked up to you and you expected to get what you've been getting from Mr. Law, and Mr. Grace walked up to you and said, I want you to know something. I want you to know I love you. And I want you to know you're my wife and I'm married to you and we're going to make this work. And I forgive you and I love you and I'm going to wash everything away. And you know what? We're going to get this right. We're going to get this right and you're going to learn. And then you know what you started doing? You started working a little harder to keep the house cleaner because you'd never been loved like that before. You started telling those other guys, you can't come around no more. I'm changing the way I've been doing because I've got somebody in my life now that's different. I'm married to Mr. Grace. I'm married to Mr. Grace. Folks, when Jesus comes into your life and you fall in love with Jesus and you understand what grace is, amen. Hallelujah. What a difference it makes. And He helps you get it right. The other thing about grace is that it's undeserved. Say undeserved. Romans 3:24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The word justified means declared righteous. We are righteous. Say, I am righteous. God made you that way. The devil wants you to walk around and think you're filthy and you're unclean and you're unworthy and you don't amount to anything. That's not what God says. Do you know what the value of something is? The value of something is determined. You want to know what you're worth? The value of something is determined by what somebody is willing to pay for it. Amen? And there are people that have these famous paintings and famous articles and of clothing or something from somebody's past or some great person, and they pay hundreds of thousands of dollars for the stuff just because so-and-so owned it. That's what it's worth to them. What are you worth? God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. God gave His Son to die for you. That's what you're worth to God. And folks, that means you're priceless. You're priceless. You can't even put a price tag on the people that are in here. That's how valuable you are to God. Amen? What this grace we have is undeserved. The word grace is spelled C-H-A-R-I-S. And we name a lot of daughters. A lot of girls are named Charis. That's not how the word is pronounced. In the Greek, the word is pronounced Haris. Now, don't go home and start calling your daughter Haris. But the word grace is pronounced Haris. And it's an interesting word because culturally in the Greek, they used it all the time. That's why God selected this Greek word. Culturally in the Greek, when this word Haris was used, it was talking about someone bestowing a gift on someone else. That I wanted to impart to someone a blessing. I wanted to impart to someone some help. If I knew, for example, there was an orphanage with a bunch of children that didn't have shoes, and I owned a shoe store, I was a very wealthy man, and I wanted to buy shoes for all those kids, I would find a way to haris, I would find a way to bestow upon them this gift. And it involved three people. It first involved the patron. The patron was the person who had all the resources and all the money who wanted to bless somebody. The client was the person who received the blessing. But there was another person involved in the Greek culture that was always a part of these deals. He was called a broker. He was the man in the middle. He was the man who went and found the people that had the need and went and found the people that had the resources and would tell them, I have found somebody with a need. But you know, in almost all of these situations, the broker would be the one who paid for the goods. The broker, the one in the middle, would pay. You know who the broker is? The broker is Jesus. Jesus paid for us to receive from the Father. He paid that debt. Folks, your debts are paid. How many? You don't owe God anything. Did you know that? The bill is paid. Your debts are paid. You're out of debt. We sang a minute ago, I'm free. That's what being free means. You are out of debt with God. Amen. Totally. So He gave us His grace, undeserved. You know what grace is? Grace is receiving what I don't deserve from God. See, mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Is there anybody in this room that wants from God what you deserve? Because I'm telling you right now, I don't. God don't give me what I deserve. Mercy is not receiving what you deserve. Grace is receiving what you don't deserve. So God doesn't just extend mercy, and His mercies are new every morning, but God extends grace. He gives us blessings and goodness and things we don't even deserve. You know, the Bible says your righteousness is as filthy rags. You know, we love to come to church and dress up, put on good clothes and smile and, you know, and we act like but folks, the Bible says we're dirty rags. We're not anything. We're nothing. On our best day, we're like a filthy rag. But through Christ, we have been made the righteousness of God. You are the righteousness of God. You say, Glenn, I've done some pretty dumb things. I've done some pretty stupid things in my life. Well, I got good news for you. Grace covers stupid. Amen. Amen. And I'm so glad it does. So he says in this verse, though I don't deserve it, I've been declared righteous. I've been justified. The last thing I want us to look at, our next slide up, is unearned. Unearned. Look at your verse. And if by grace, then it is no longer of works. If it is grace, it is no longer of works. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. But if it is of works, it is no longer grace. Otherwise, work is no longer work. Now, let's do an experiment here. Let's substitute the word free for grace and earned for works. And let's put this verse up, this next verse, and let's look at it because it illustrates, I think, in a clear way what this means. So our next slide, it says, and listen to what he's saying here. And if it is free, it is no longer earned. Right? You see that? If it is free, it is no longer earned. It can't be both. It's either free or you earn it. Otherwise, free is no longer free. If I got to go earn it, it's not free. Right? How many of you would appreciate your boss coming up to you on Friday and saying, I'm just going to bless you with this gift here? You know? You'd be like, whoa, I earned that money. You owe me that money. I worked all week for that. This ain't grace. This ain't a gift. You owe me that, right? But folks, God doesn't owe you nothing. Look what he says. Otherwise, free is no longer free. But if it is earned, it is no longer free. It's one or the other. Otherwise, earned is no longer earned. Earned is no longer earned. So are you earning it? No, because the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a gift. And if you try to get under, listen, if you try to get out from under this, there are people that they want to work, they want to be good, they want to do all these things to try to please God. Jesus already did that for you. Galatians says, Christ has become of no effect unto you, whosoever you are justified by law and are fallen from grace. Listen to what he's saying here. If you have fallen from grace and put yourself under law, I'm going to live by those rules. I'm going to do all these things. If you do that, Christ is of no effect to you. Are you hearing that? He can't help you. The only way he can help you is if you remain under grace. I receive it by grace that God does it for me. Hallelujah. That's receiving a gift. Listen, there's nothing more you will ever do that will make God love you any more than he loves you right now. Now, it would be a blessing to God if we all went out and did godly things and gave to the poor. That moves the heart of God, but it won't make him love you more. He already loves you as much as he can love you. Glenn, I'm kind of a scuzzball, but he still loves you. Amen? And there's nothing you will ever do that will make God love you any less. Oh, man, I've messed up just this week. I did this and I did that and I messed up. He still loves you. He still loves you, for God so loved the world. The Bible says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. How many of you ever received a birthday gift and or a Christmas gift and you enjoyed that gift? What if after receiving that gift, they also said, well, now here's a bill for $86 too. I'd appreciate you helping me out. Now, I got some gifts like that. I got some Father's Day gifts like that that I'm pretty sure I paid for. You know what I'm saying? But a gift is a gift. A gift costs you nothing, right? There's no bill that comes with a gift. Grace isn't about a second chance. It's about unlimited chances. I want to say that again. Grace isn't about a second chance. It's about unlimited chances with God. There was a tradition in the Jewish culture that you would forgive a man up to 3 times for wronging you. And most people thought that's pretty, you know, if you mess me over 3 different times and I forgive you, hey, that's probably enough. But Peter got super spiritual one day. You know, he got all carried away under the anointing and the glory of God. And he went up to Jesus. He said, you know what? I've decided I'm going to forgive my brother up to 7 times. Not 3, 7. And Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, not 7 times, but 70 times 7. Amen. Now, for those of you that are counting, and you've got somebody that's on like 489, Jesus didn't mean 490. He meant just forgive them. Amen? So some of you are keeping score, I'm sure. He doesn't give grace out because of you. He gives it out because of Him. And it's something that flows from the heart of God. And here's the good news, and I'm about done. Because it's unmerited, because it's undeserved, because it's unearned, everybody in this room qualifies. I want to say that again. Because it's undeserved, because it's unmerited, because it's unearned, every person in this room qualifies for the grace of God. Amen. Oh, thank you, Jesus. There was a man by the name of Dick Hoyt, and he had a son that was born. They named him Rick. And Rick was born with the umbilical cord tied around his neck, and it strangled him in the process of being born, and oxygen was cut off to his brain. He was born disabled. He couldn't talk. He couldn't walk. He didn't feel like he amounted to much as he grew and got older. In 1973, they invented a way for Rick to communicate. His parents got to noticing that with his eyes, he would, you know, make motions and move, and they began to discover that he was quite intellectual. And some inventors got together and designed a way for him to use his eyes and look at a computer and select letters of the alphabet and put words together and communicate with people. In fact, this process is still used today. Now, you can imagine in 1973 with the technology of that time, it was not very advanced. But today, they've really advanced in that technology to help people communicate that way. Later, as Rick got older, he had a friend that was paralyzed. And they were doing a 5K run to raise funds and to honor his friend. And Rick communicated to his father that more than anything, he wanted to run. He wanted to participate in that 5K run. But he couldn't run. So his father started training. And his father trained and his father trained. And his father entered the both of them into that 5K run. And for that 5K run, the father pushed little Rick on the wheelchair through that whole run. When they got through with the run, little Rick looked at his father and he said, Daddy, that's the first time, or he communicated to his father, he couldn't talk, but communicated to his father, that's the first time I felt like my life mattered. I've spent my whole life just sitting in a wheelchair. I felt like I was nothing. And for the first time, I felt like my life mattered. Well, when he said that, something clicked in the heart of that dad. And that dad started training and he started entering these runs. And now, over the course of time, him and Rick have run 72 marathons together. And they have also run 255 triathlons. A triathlon is where you swim for about 3 miles. You run for about 26 miles. And you bicycle for over 100 miles. And he would put his little crippled son in a basket on the bicycle and ride on that bicycle in the triathlon. They didn't win any of these events, but they participated. He would put his son in a little boat of some kind and swim, pulling him. And then in the runs, he would push him in the wheelchair. I'm going to show you a video. And as you watch the video, I want you to be reminded that I have never been able to run. And I have never been able to swim. And I have never been able to do the things that God wanted me to do. But Jesus pushed me, and He pulled me, and He carried me. You and I are the little boy in the wheelchair. Let's watch this together. I wanted you to see a picture of yourself. You're in the wheelchair. And when it comes to the kingdom of God, you can't swim, you can't run, you can't do anything. Folks, we're helpless. We can't save ourselves, we're lost. But just in time, God came and died for me. That's my father pushing me in that wheelchair. My daddy. That's how we run the race. Because we can't do it. We never could. And that, my friends, is amazing grace. And it is amazing. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Lord, I love you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. If you're here this morning, you'd say, Glenn, you know, I've tried to do it my way. I've tried to figure things out. I've tried to be good. I was married to Mr. Law. I get it. And I couldn't, and I've never been able to. I've even thought about even not doing the church thing or the God thing because I just can't. Well, I would tell you, you never could. But there is one who can, and one who did it for you. And all He asks is that you believe. Just believe. I believe in the one who was born in Bethlehem. I believe in the one who walked this earth and lived a sinless life. I believe in the one who went to that cross for me. I believe in Jesus. And I believe that He rose again and He's coming back. If you're here this morning, you say, Glenn, I just want to put my trust in Jesus for the rest of my life. I've tried it up to this point on my own and I'm tired. And I just don't want to do it anymore. And I just want to let Him push me. If you're here this morning and you just open your heart to receiving the Lord, if you have never done that, and I know most of you have, but maybe there's someone here. While every head is bowed, no one looking around, I just want you to hold up your hand. Thank you. God bless you, sweetie. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you, ma'am. Anybody else? I want to know this Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to join hands all over this building. And we're going to pray a prayer together. And those of you that have lifted your hands, I want you to pray this prayer from your heart. Dear Jesus, I admit I'm a sinner. Pray it out loud, church. I admit I'm a sinner. And I need you. I've made mistakes. And I failed. But I've come to you today to give you, Lord, my heart. To accept you into my life as my Savior. I believe you died for me. I believe you rose again. And I accept your eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer, I would love for you to meet me here at the front when we dismiss the service so I could just chat with you for just that long. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. He changed everything. Now, I'm not perfect. None of us are. That's what the blood is for. Amen. Amen. We're covered, church. We're covered. Hallelujah. In a time of so much division, it's time God's people came together. Amen. It's time God's people came together. Again, I want to remind you of our fellowship. We're going to go ahead and pray over the food and everything here, so we won't have to do that down there. And we kind of have a rule that if you're 70 and older, you get in line first. So if you're carrying your over 70 card, no, we're not carding anybody. We'll trust you. Amen. Hallelujah. We want to remember those that our elders and honor them. And so I don't like them being at the back of the line. That's, you know, so anyway, they're ready for you. So kids can jump and play. And I mean, you're going to have a good time and enjoy the food. I hope all of you stay. I would like a chance to talk and visit with you. Let's pray. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you for this day. We thank you, God, for your word today. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you, God, for the gifts and manifestations of the Lord that are in our midst. I pray, Lord, right now, if there's any sick in this room, I ask for healing in the name of Jesus. And I pray that healing be released from the Word of God and flows through this congregation right now. I pray for strength. I pray for blessings. We come against every enemy and foul spirit that is attacking the people of God. We command them to leave right now by the authority of the Word of God in the name of Jesus. And I pray for blessings to rest upon your people as they leave here today. Bless our fellowship and our time together, Lord. And we give you praise in the mighty name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you.